This Sunday. Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they see them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
It was never waiting, but we're waiting for spring. I've been waiting to do this for months, folks. You can't imagine how much fun this is for me to see my co-host shrivel with trepidation on the other side of this meeting as we play his favorite ballad of all times. The perfect lead into every show.
I'm turning the radio off.
Yes, on Motormouth.
Richard Harris? You, really?
Well, because you wouldn't sing it. You've tuned in to Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show here on Long Island, in case you haven't figured that out. And you are you're stuck with your co-hosts, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer, who are catching up on some music here, some stuff that was in this the volume in this CD that I picked up from my favorite music store, Infinity Records.
Put it back.
I know, and I'm at the end of it, so I had to just like
you are certainly at the end of it.
I had to fill in with two songs for today, and I said, you know what? How do you use MacArthur Park? Like you don't. You just do it.
The second I hear that harpsichord, it's like forget it. I want to run out of the studio.
Lurch. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
You know what's so funny, because I can't listen to the Honeymooners music anymore.
Oh.
You've heard it so much. It's like listening to the I Love Lucy theme. As soon as I hear the timbales, I was like, turn it off, turn it off.
Right.
As soon as I hear the Honeymooners, turn it off.
Right, right. Yeah.
Done.
No, I know.
As soon as I hear that harpsichord from Richard Harris and MacArthur Park, I went, turn it off.
Yeah, certain things get ingrained in your memory that's, you know, that does that.
Well, you know, it's so funny you should bring it up. I'm actually doing the same thing. Every time I listen to any sort of or watch any sort of automotive program, anything on YouTube, anything, you start, and I know I mentioned this before, you start to hear that grating guitar riff.
Oh, yeah.
That assorted, it's like, please stop it. Play some jazz music. Play a polka, for crying out loud. What are you playing that silly? That everybody's got it. It's like, can anybody have something called an imagination when they're doing a car show?
Yeah, we actually have Polka Bob Petrowski on the station who does that. And where is his show?
I would want to hear, I think we should start this show with a polka.
Monday night at 8 p.m. you can listen to Polka Bob Petrowski. That's some great stuff here on WHPC. But no, I could have gone with number 17. That was another trick bag here. I'm sorry, Color Him Father. That's a great one. No, number seven, your other favorite, Winchester Cathedral.
But
and I actually was scrubbing the song to see how I could use it for an open. And you got on this version, you have to go in about almost a minute and change before you actually hear the words Winchester Cathedral. This is a huge, long musical intro. I'm like,
right.
No, that ain't going to work.
So. Yeah, and it's so lame. It's like bloop, 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 bloop,
I like it. Well, I'll tell you what. You'll see we got at the bottom of the hour, because I had another one that was kind of left over that has to be used. So, and then this CD is done. It's back to Infinity to buy more some more compilation CDs.
You throw it, tie it to a brick and throw it through their window.
Hey, look, that's been that gave us show music for the last couple of months that we've been playing. So, you know, got a lot of, you know, what did this cost me? I don't know. It cost me, I think, like $3.99. For my $3.99, I got months of lead-in music. So
yes, and I'm getting a stroke.
Yeah, I know. I know. So anyway.
Well, you listen to this program, no one will ever accuse you of being a music critic, I guess.
No. But you can be a car critic, and you can tell us about it if you call 516-572-7440. And follow us on all social media platforms. We're Motor Mouth Radio on the web, on Facebook, and on Twitter. Instagram, of course, is real_MotorMouthRadio. Let me tell you a little story. Yes.
Oh, good. I get a story for once.
Yeah, something interesting that happened yesterday. I was, have you ever been driving your cars or maybe done a little, I did a little maintenance to the Mazda a couple weeks ago. I put tires on it. So when I put, you know, the new tires on a front-wheel drive car need to go in the rear, not in the front. That's how I ran off the road with my Mazda 3 by putting the good snow tires in the front.
You learned that the hard way by being a projectile.
So when I got the new tires and mounted them, I had to now, you know, take all four tires off and switch them around. I did that in my driveway at home. So it was a matter of floor jack etiquette.
What? So,
yeah.
You didn't work like a gentleman on the lift?
No. Well, you know, because you've seen it. With the right lift point, I can get three wheels of that car off the ground, and you've seen it.
Yes, I've seen you make sculpture out of a vehicle. Yes. You've created what is known in the artistic circles as a stabile.
It's that car in particular. I guess they all have their balance points and tipping points. That one I can get up on. I can get three wheels off the ground rather easy if I lift it the right way.
So anyway, I think I remember like one corner of the car was like eye level. The other corner of the car was touching the ground.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. So when I had the car up to do the tires, that was the job. That's what I wanted to do. I had a little while to do it. I had other things I had to do. So, you know, I was going to just move. There was no other maintenance needed. But when I had the front wheels off, I was looking, you know, just in casual passing, you know, we always say we look around. You look for
right.
You know, what are the things you look for when you're under the car, Chris?
Right, something shiny or something wet.
Right. There was a third one too that we used to say, but I don't remember.
Oh, there's something space. Usually something that's
something
not
hanging, you know.
Not attached, something hanging.
That's
yeah.
The wild card. You fill in that one as you go.
Right.
So
irregularities per se.
In passing, I noticed like, okay, this car isn't getting driven a lot. So I can see that I'm getting the brakes, the calipers and all are rusting a little more than they might have if it was used. And, you know, but the hose.
Assorted wildlife is living
well,
in
cobwebs.
The cracks and crevices.
Yeah, cobwebs. I did notice that the brake hoses were good. You know, I did that perfunctionary kind of look.
Right.
And the thing that stuck in my head as I was putting the wheel back on was, you know, I should probably really check the brake slides to make sure that the caliper slides, that they slide. But I already had the wheels back on and the real ones are coming on. I said, all right, they're probably fine, you know, and then I'm sure the brake pads are fine. I'm sure.
So, I love that analysis from 10 feet away. Yeah, right. It's probably good.
Well, now I used the car again last week, and I used it. I use that car on the weekend, so I take it to work on Fridays. Not Fridays. I take it on Saturday, and I use it on Sunday. At least I get it out there and give it 2 days of use a week. You know,
that's good. That's good.
Because my wife may take it out one day during the week, too. And yesterday when I took it to work, I said, you know what? I remembered back to that week. I said, I asked myself about those slides. I didn't do anything about it. Today, when I get home, before it rains, it was supposed to rain, I said, I'm going to just jack up the front, pull the wheels off. I'm going to check the brake slides. So I did. And, of course, they were fine. You know, and the brakes were not, and the pads were nice and thick. They were fine, too. But I re-greased everything and greased. It's very important you have the stainless steel, what do they call them?
Clips?
Yeah, they're clips, but it's more of a slider. They let the brake pads slide back and forth in the caliper. And you're supposed to put some high-temperature brake grease on those points with a brake pad.
I just clean them. Yeah, I just clean them. I don't actually put any sort of molly poppily bobbly.
You should, because now what you have is metal on metal, and as the brake pad, the substrate of the brake pad is going to rust because it's steel. And the stainless steel obviously won't because it's stainless steel. But they do recommend some grease on those spots. So I did that. And while I was in there, you know, what I did was just as a matter of course, I opened the brake bleeder and pushed the pad in to take all the fluid out from behind the caliper puck.
Sure.
You know, and then add fresh brake fluid. So I did that on the right side first, but on the left side, what happened? I know the left side, for some reason, the caliper, the bleeder valve was a little, had some rust on it. It was a little tighter. And even the slide pin was a little gummed up. It was a little gooey. Gooier than the left side. So I went into the garage to clean these things off, to use the wire wheel and put a little never seize on them. And then I got diverted and I remembered, hey, you know what? Let me look in the drawer of spare parts. I may have some spare slide pins because I keep those for all the different cars because you never know when you're going to need one.
Yes.
And lo and behold,
they're small enough.
I had two new, brand new looking ones in the. So I said, good. I took the old one, tossed it. I'll put this new one in. Mm-hmm. And then I went through the drawer and I sorted out some other old ones to trash because I'm trying to throw out stuff now, you know, to pare down.
Good for you.
So, well, all the time I did that, maybe that was, I don't know, 10 minutes. I had the bleed valve with me. So now, of course, I had the caliper. I let it gravity bleed into a little pan of, you know, an old antifreeze bottle. I cut the side out of, so it becomes nice little catch basin. And of course, when I got back to it, I looked and there was nothing dripping anymore. I'm like, that's odd. Like, what happened there? Well, the master cylinder fully ran out of fluid. So I said, wow, that's a heck.
Brake flush.
That's a hell of a brake bleed. So I put the valve in, and I said I topped off the master. I said, okay, let me see if I get lucky, if I could just pump it up, if I'm going to get brakes. And I didn't. I said, okay. But I tell you, this was the easiest brake bleed in the world because, now it's like, okay, all the wheels are back on again. And my other job was I decided to change the lug nuts over so they were all the same because I had a lock, and the lug took the locks off.
Good.
And I just put the wheels back again. I'm like, I don't want to take the wheels off again just to get. So what I did is I jacked the car up pretty high, cranked the wheel to the side, and reached back and opened the bleeder. And I used my hand evacuation tool, like the Mighty Vac type of tool.
Sure.
And just created a suction, pulled the fluid out. The right side really didn't have any air. The left side had all the air. That was the one closest to the master. I mean, it was maybe like two or three cycles on that. Add the fluid again, and boom, brakes are back. So, and I thought as I was doing that, because I have these thoughts when I do things, you know, it's like.
You have these random thoughts.
How many people would have gotten into this predicament, and then that would have been the freak out point, like, oh, I lost the brakes. What happened? And like, these are the guys you see. I know I'm diverting a little, but it makes sense. These are the guys you see on the forum who, when a question is posed to them, they go to all ends of the universe with their answers. Well, it could be this, it could be that. Oh, wait, you know, you got to see.
Yes.
You know those guys. And I'm thinking,
yes.
No, bucko, you let the fluid drain. The master entered. There's some air in there. You just do a quick. There was a quick and easy answer, which you don't see on the forums these days. So
right,
I applaud the guys who give the quick, easy answers, like me, because that's what
I do. Right. Unless there's a phone call here at the show, and then we can go into all different rabbit holes.
Right.
So
absolutely.
But yes, I champion the quick and easy answer.
Yeah.
And yes, if it fails, if that answer is not the correct one, then the second quick and easy answer is even better. So I agree with you there. But I think that comes with experience as well. So I totally understand what you're talking about, especially with brakes.
Right.
And yeah, this is even more important. You have a second car.
Oh, yeah.
That's always good.
No, in my case, that wasn't the issue, but.
Right. I grow very big gonads when I'm doing repairs, when I know there's a second car in the driveway that works just fine.
Right.
I'm like, I'm fearless when it comes down to repairs at that point.
Sure.
Because I know I got a parts getter right there.
Well, let's see how fearless you really are. Let's go to this blinking light. Let's go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, how are you, gentlemen?
Very good. Who are we speaking with?
My name's Steve.
What's up, Steve? Where are you from?
I'm from Oceanside.
Oh, excellent. Our good old stomping grounds. What's on your mind today, Steve?
Yeah, well, I didn't know whether to ask you about the electric cars or saying roll out the barrel. We'll have a barrel of fun.
Okay, either one works.
Yeah, well, I know you were talking about the poker thing, and the other guy was talking about the electric car, but I really have a question. I recently bought a 98 Ford Infiniti conversion van.
Okay.
Okay.
And the heat doesn't work. The air conditioning works, but the heat doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it blows, but it doesn't blow hot air.
Okay. Ford vans are known for this. It's a blend door issue. I put on my Karnak hat, and I only know because at the shop at Oceanside, I've had to fix one or two of them. There's blend doors that actuate by vacuum, and sometimes it used to be cables, now it's all vacuum, and there's sometimes a little servo motor on them.
I was just going to say, yeah, there's a motor that Ford has on top of them as well. Yeah.
And that's, mm-hmm. I'm going to say probably 95 or better percent of the time, that's what the problem is. Now, yeah, is this a new conversion van or was this something?
No, it's a 98. Oh,
a 98. Yeah, so you're going to have to bring it somewhere to have that looked at. Only because of where the part is. And is it going to be, it gets to be a little expensive because of the time. But if you get a guy who knows what he's doing, he can knock it out. I did the first one I did, it took me forever to get it out. And then put it back in was pretty quick because I had half the freaking van apart. But
I was going to say, I did it on a 90 LTD. And yeah, the whole, pretty much all dash had to come apart. And I had to get my hand up and over to, you did, it was mostly done by feel. It wasn't done by sight. I didn't see the part when it was installed. It was one of those reach up and in there type of things.
Right.
To remove it. So yeah, it will be, it's one of those jobs for anyone with long tapery fingers.
Yeah, it's, you know, I came across this during the week. There was a video that a guy mentioned this in, and I've always said this, where doing mechanical work, oftentimes it's more a matter of feel than sight. Your fingers have to have eyes in them because you have to have your hands in places that you can't see. And that's the case with that blend door. Steve, I would say just go online, use your search engine of choice, and just type in, you know, the year, the make, the model, and say, you know, no heat or no hot air, and see what comes back. And I think you'll see that answer comes back first and foremost. And then you get an idea of what it takes to do the job.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
And let us know how that works out when you get it done.
I called you before.
Okay.
I called you about a Volvo that the salt water got to.
Oh, the Volvo. Yeah, I remember that. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it wouldn't get out of third gear.
Right.
And wound up getting rid of that.
But, okay.
Yeah, I talk to you guys when I need you. I appreciate you. I listen to you.
All right. Very good, Steve. We appreciate that. And, when you get into that repair, let us know how you make out. We'd be curious to add that to our mental database.
I'll definitely give it to you. Have a good day, gentlemen.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. So long. Those blend doors can be quite the chore.
Yes.
You know, Joe DRI and this guy, our guy watching our backs, he says they call that stabilizer hardware on the brakes.
Oh, okay.
I don't recall
it. Stabilizer hardware.
Yeah, I don't ever recall seeing that it was called really anything other than, you know, hardware included. But,
Right.
And it's important to change that stuff. It really is. You know.
Oh, yeah. At least that is not only to change, but I mean, like, to maintain it, to look at, eyeball it. And I can't tell you, when I bought that LeBaron, the brakes, I mean, it stopped the car, but oh my gosh, they were just on their way out. Like the rear wheel cylinders were seized up. The fronts were all gummed up. I mean, it was, this had to be done. This job had to be done.
What's even
so
worse?
I totally understand.
I mean, at the shop, we had the guy who worked there previously. His thing was, we don't need the hardware. What do you need that for? So there was this like drawer filled with all the hardware that came with the brakes that was never put.
Oh, gosh.
So I instituted the policy of, no, now stuff gets put in. This is how we do it. And and there was no problem with that. But what's worse
but now,
is...
But now- How many times have you actually pulled a car that you do not own? You pull the wheel off to go to attack the brakes, and that hardware isn't there.
That was my next comment. You'd be surprised how many times I've worked on cars and seen that there was no hardware. So, guys, not only took off. Sometimes those clips will fall off. Sometimes they really are there, and you got to pry them off. But so I could see if they, you know. If they weren't there in the first place, which doesn't make sense. But, yeah, a lot of people just don't put them back on. I guess they figure maybe it's like accessory stuff. There's also sometimes little spring clips shaped like a fork this Mazda has two of those that clips into the pads. You got to, and now it's a little bit of a dance because you have to bend them forward and put the caliper on and kind of get your finger in there to help drop them down a little so you can drop the caliper. And that actually also helps, you know, with that caliper placement. And they also, those little springs keep pressure outward to keep the pads off the rotor when the car is driving. And it was probably to prevent noise, or I know other cars have done it in an effort to promote fuel economy because now you don't have dragging on the brakes. So I don't know what Mazda's idea was, but they obviously did it.
My old man used to say they put it in there for a reason.
He's right. He's right. Right. That's why you get the Bragiolo in the sauce. Hey, it's in there for a reason. You know, because it tastes good. That's why we don't leave it out. Ask Chassis John. He'll tell you all about it.
I'm sure. 516-572-7440. We're on a roll here. We've answered a question.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, I got a piece that's from up from your part of the world, boy. Well.
What? Here? From up here?
Let me put it this way. Closer to your part of the world than to mine.
Okay, what is it?
Talking about Maine. We're talking about the effing Maine car tag law.
What's that? Tell me.
The effing Maine car. You figured it out. Okay. It's about removing obscenities from license plates in Maine, and it isn't going to happen overnight, even though a law banning profanities goes into effect on Monday, which is tomorrow.
I didn't realize that profanity was allowed on your license plate in Maine.
I will. Neither did I, but I'll tell you about it. Currently, the reporter who did this story, this is off the AP, did a search and found there's plates in Maine sporting F-bombs, references to anatomy and sex acts, and one that simply reads F-U, but with the words spelled out. And that's okay.
On a license plate?
Correct.
Wow. That's bold and innovative.
Well, so the Secretary of State, Sheena Bellows, said the rule making it ensures the First Amendment rights, you know, there are First Amendment rights that they want to make sure are preserved in Maine, but it could take months to really work this whole thing out, they're saying. So even though the rule doesn't affect, it's going to take a while. So a majority of the states in this fine nation banned profanity on plates, but Maine became the wild, wild west of vanity plates when it dropped that review process in 2015. So who knew?
Who knew indeed?
I don't know.
Wow. So I guess they're going to reinstate it. But I guess you would have to do that through the act of attrition. You're not going to reach out to this clever individual that has an FU plate on his car and say you have to turn it in. You have to wait for the car to be, I'm assuming you'd have to wait for it to be re-registered. Therefore you can say, no, you can't have this.
Well, that certainly makes sense. But I think if a law changes, I think they may have the ability to say, okay, you know what? We need you to come back in and turn that plate in. They may. Listen, I wouldn't be surprised to hear that they did that.
I'm just amazed that Maine would let a law like that slide. I remember when I was young and silly, I remember looking for a vanity plate and trying to find a plate that was clever enough that the New York State Department of Motor Vehicles would allow it, yet would send the message. And you know what? You really can't because they're pretty good.
They saw that swizzle me plate and they said, no way, we're not letting that go out. This guy's a nut. Right.
You saw that plate.
I did, yeah. You had it on your garage wall, I know.
With the little picture next to it. That was a little meat hook.
Right. Hey, you know, stuff happens.
516-572-7440. You know, I got to tell you a little bit of annoyance that happened to me this week. I took pictures of the LeBaron, and I wanted to put the convertible top boot on the car, and I've come to realize I've never put the boot on the car. I just don't bother, but I have it, and I decided to put it on. And there's two chrome, very exclusive, very nice looking chrome sliders that sit at the top of the rear panels by the rear seat, and that the boot clips onto those. You slide the slider and then you sit the boot in there, and the boot's got a hook on it where the slider meets up with, and it keeps that down. Well, I had a laugh because I went to go take the boot off and the slider stop sliding.
Oh, boy.
it wouldn't slide.
Yeah.
Big chrome affair, and it wouldn't go forward. I'm like, what is this, a joke? Like, how am I going to get this thing off? And I had to laugh because I'm in my driveway wrestling with this thing. And don't you know that I saw every single neighbor that I can possibly see? And they're like, hey, you having trouble?
Yeah.
Hey, you having trouble with that? You having trouble? It's like, No, I just like hanging, you're pulling on this thing,
yeah.
Trying to pull it off the trunk of the car. Yes, I'm exercising. And I've really finally had to sit back and figure it out. I was going for the crowbar. I mean, that's where I was headed with this thing.
All right.
And I just have to laugh because sometimes the simplest things, like you discussed, like some of the simple brake jobs,
yeah.
Sometimes the simplest things can make you berserk.
Mm-hmm.
And the matter of just sliding one of these chrome special clipules that are very polished and very fine looking, just sliding it forward 2 inches and it doesn't happen, and you're trying to figure this out. What physics rule is this thing breaking completely? And I really went quite extensively to sit there and just go, is this like candid camera?
It's really Newton's second law, which also tells you that if you have enough fine grease in your collection, a little dab on there will help officiate the sliding a lot better.
Oh yeah, but it didn't feel stuck. It felt stopped. Like it just, like it wasn't moving at all. It wasn't like it was stuck.
Maybe a little.
And you know what? I didn't want to tap it because I was afraid of snapping it in half because it was like literally pop metal.
Yeah.
So I'm pushing down on it. Pulling up on it.
Gotcha.
And then trying to slide. I'm doing a combination of slides.
Right.
And I literally had, there was one side, I put my thumb on it and I started pushing and it gave way and then it slid forward. And that's all it had to do was slide forward like 2 inches before I could release the convertible top boot from the top of the car. And it still sticks.
You know,
I still sprayed it. It still sticks. It's like the magical sticking, releasing clip.
John says you should have used a little rubber mallet, and that's what his thought. You know, that's the thing, and I agreed. I told him you should probably just hit your head with it. That would have been the way to do it. Get it over.
I tried it.
No, but you know, when you talk about something like this, you know, we all have our thoughts because we picture the problem. We all think, oh, I know what I would do. And how many times you get into that situation where you walk up on something and a friend is having trouble, you say, oh, I know, let me in there. Get out of the way. Everybody move away. Step aside. And you get in there with your grandiose idea and like, that doesn't work either. You're like, all right, I'm done.
I've seen you do that too.
Yeah, it happens. Listen, it happens to the best of us. What are you going to do? Yeah. You know what else
I've seen
happens?
You make that presentation. Wow.
Well, and the presentation that I'm looking for now is we're at the bottom of the hour already, Chris. Do you believe that?
Already?
Do we have a honor group of the hour that you could share with us?
A honor group?
Yeah.
A honor group of the hour. Yes, we do, as a matter of fact.
What do we got? Yeah, what's on today?
Today, the Motormouth Radio honor group of the hour. I'm so glad you asked. If you actually enjoy the thrill of hunting down hard-to-find parts, do you revel in traipsing through junkyards, climbing over piles of rusting vehicles, chomping through endless vegetation, getting stung or bitten by assorted wildlife just to get that elusive part? Do you stay up all night looking on the internet for just the right part and, of course, at the right price? Do you attend every flea market or swap meet just to discover that long-lost missing piece? Well, once it's found, do you celebrate briefly and immediately start on the search again for the next unattainable part? Well, if you enjoy the rigors of the search more than the elation of the discovery or the satisfaction of the acquisition, then you are a true explorer of your age. And are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour this week.
You know what?
There you go.
I not only do I fit the description, I fit it in three different things I was doing this week at the simultaneously searching for things, three different things in venues that I am involved with, and I did solve one of them. One.
You did?
Yeah.
One. You solved one.
I did solve, but that's okay. You know what? The other two, I'm working. I got a good lead on another one. And the third one, I think I have that knocked. I just have to look through my junk and find something. But while I'm doing that, of course, especially if it ends up being Saturday night at 11, I will have tuned in to Shades of New Jazz. because that show really gets us. That's our buddy. Actually, Joe and I used to talk with this fella out in the hall on Sundays when he would pre-record sometimes. Greg Bigelow. Because he plays the latest and greatest in the world of jazz. He kind of looks like Samuel L. Jackson. He's a real cool dude, man. And he lays down some great stuff. And he features new and recent releases in the format of jazz. But it's new jazz, so you want to check out Greg Bigelow Saturdays at 11 because he does play some good stuff. Now, what I'm going to play, there's something someone that wants me. They've been wanting me for a while. And I have been to this place, too. But we're going to clear our Infinity Records CD selection here today with our bottom of the hour pick, and I'm sure you'll be writhing in adulation as you hear it. And then we'll play a couple of spots, and we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio with Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. Keep it where you got it. On
explore more music while we're exploring more automotive talk, and while we can explore more snakes on a plane. Yes, right. I got it.
On 90.3 WHBC. So let's go because they're looking for me.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limerick and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CARSTAR Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Oh.
You know them.
So nice talking to you guys. I miss you.
You love them.
I heard you talking about us, so I thought I'd call in.
Motor Mouth!
You want to serve dinner to them.
How you doing, guys? Sorry to interrupt.
How are you, Ray?
Chris is the sharpest drill bit, right?
This is the first time that I'm actually listening live and working on a car.
Our trained staff of two will help.
I'll call you back when I have the solution.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. That definitely points me in the right direction.
No, hold your breath. I hope you're sitting down.
Motor Mouth!
A tornado of urban legend and BS.
No, I'm not going to wax my Johnson. I'm going to wax my Evan Root.
As always, you are consummate professional.
When I listen on my laptop, I got to keep that thing screaming. I don't mean to blow you up on the airwaves.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Oh, this is why I call wrong number by accident.
I want you all to know, sometimes I don't even wear pants.
I have no clue, and I can't hit it with a hammer to fix it.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I got to give you guys a call and talk to you.
Motor Mouth!
I'm in the car now.
They're going to talk about working on cars, but not going to work on yours.
There is no answer, and it makes you think, and I like the things that make you think.
What are you doing here?
I'm on break.
Okay, good. So are we.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHBC.
Motor Mouth.
My name is Carl Anthony with Automoblog and AutoVision News, and you're listening to Ray and Chris on Motor Mouth Radio, WHPC 90.3 FM.
Got a car question? Give the Motor Mouths a call at 516-572-7440.
I can't go back there, Chris. I've just had enough. You know what? I think I owe somebody money. It was on your credit card, so I don't know. I think you're going to have to go and take care of this because I'm not going back to Indiana.
No one wants to.
So there you have it. I saved the best for last on this great compilation CD.
I think that is one of the songs that, for one of the first songs in rock and roll to actually play a siren.
Oh, really?
In the song. Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, I hate
that claim to fame. I think it's, it has a sound effect.
And that's a great trivia. Like, okay, who did Indiana Wants Me? Who was the artist?
R. Dean Taylor.
Yeah, very good. Only nerds like you would know that because that is something that is absolutely, unequivocally unknown.
It's a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
That's for sure. You know, just that real fast, talking about exploring your music and exploring automobile. I had an uncle, God love him. I had an uncle many, many years ago. I remember we were at a party and he drove a DeSoto. And we were at a party one time and my dad asked him, he had a couple of drinks and my father said to him, what kind of car do you drive again? And he went, it's a Ponce de Leon. That's what I drive. And even I, as a kid, we all fell out. We were like, he drives a Ponce de Leon. No, that Explorer, right? Not DeSoto, that Explorer.
Uncle Cuneo, Uncle Straccio, whatever it was. Yeah. I know, those funny guys. Hey, well, I'll tell you about something that he wasn't driving that you could be driving next year if you want. There's a new vehicle coming out. We talked about this Thursday night on Plane in Traffic. Carl Anthony was on with us, by the way.
Hey!
We had a great show with Carl. In 2022, Ford is bringing back the Maverick. That's right. And like John said, it's not that cute, sporty little subcompact car that everybody loves.
No, it's a truck.
It's a truck. That's right.
Of course. And Ford doesn't make cars anymore other than the Mustang. They don't make cars.
That's right. And it's coming out in two platforms, either electric or a hybrid or a gas motor. It'll be the cheapest hybrid in the country at $19,995. Which is like small car price, believe it or not. But it looks kind of like a bigger truck, the picture I saw at least. They haven't rated it for fuel economy yet. They say there's room for 4 adults, 5 if you're close, if you like the people you drive with. 33 feet of cubic feet of cargo space, which is okay for a small truck. But if you don't get the hybrid, you can get the 2-liter EcoBoost with an 8-speed automatic. That's the optional equipment group. The hybrid will tow 2,000 pounds, and the gas engine can tow 4,000 pounds of load. So there you go, if you don't have big stuff to tow. And it's in three trim levels, the XL, the XLT, and the top line is the Lariat, which shares the platform with the Escape and the Bronco Sport from the B-pillar forward. And they're saying that, you know, they're thinking this thing's going to have some pretty cool, some traction in the group because
it looks cute.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it now.
Well, they said that it has that tough truck look. They said, you know, the picture I saw was just from the front. That was the only shot that I saw of it.
Right.
And they said that it doesn't follow the whole boxy truck thing throughout. It has a good style to it.
You know what it has? Do you remember when the Honda Pilot first came out, the back of the truck was not attached. Was attached to the body of the truck. And a lot of people frowned at that. And then I think the Pilot, separated the body from the bed to make it more durable. Or even the, do you remember years prior, the Volkswagen Rabbit had a pickup version, smaller pickup version, and the bed was also not attached and people frowned at it. Well, this one, I'm looking at it now, the bed is attached to the body.
Okay.
Just like so, we'll just hear the complainers complain. Starting very soon, I'm sure.
Hey, for $20,000, what do you want? Yeah.
No, it looks good. It looks, and you know what's funny, because I would like a pickup truck, but I don't want a Mastodon. I want something that can actually fit in the garage.
Yeah.
And as I say this, as I had a Mastodon for a convertible, there's no room for two Mastodons in my garage.
True.
So I'm looking for a mid-size pickup, just not something that I'm going to plunk any money down anytime soon, but I'm keeping an eye out for one. And this is something that may fit the bill. This is kind of nice.
Even the used ones are up. Like the Colorado is a nice mid-size. That's not a mid-size. The Ranger.
But you got to find a Colorado that's fairly new because the older ones are crazy.
Yeah.
Consumer Reports frowns on those.
Yeah.
So I want something that I don't have to fix every day.
Well, I'll tell you about a truck that this is for Chassis John needs one of these. Even though he said it's not for him. I have a report here from, let me tell you who it's from first, Marianne Limoncello. She's the specialty vehicle engineering person from Chevy in Toms River, New Jersey. This truck, also 2022, it's an 850 horsepower Yanco SC supercharged Silverado in four-wheel drive.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Talk about a projectile.
I'm just going to hit some high points. It's a 1500 series Silverado crew cab or double cab, short or standard bed. You get your choice, LT, LTZ, or high country with the L84 5.3-liter engine, the MQE 8-speed automatic transmission, and a host of other goodies. The dealership, this was from her dealership. It says the dealership will require you, once you secure your build package, you then have to give them a $10,000 deposit. Yes, $10,000. Wow. Once they receive the deposit, they'll assign a build number. So you can't just say, yeah, I want one, put me on the list. You got to pony up some cash.
Wow.
They will limit the build limit to only 50 trucks, and they're going to supply the dealership with, after the build, a certificate of origin, which will change the title work from GM Chevrolet Silverado into a 2022 850 HP Yanco SE Supercharged Silverado. So it's a real special deal. They actually have the they included a copy of the order form that you can check stuff off. Like this one here, it comes with the 378 cubic inch LT1 engine, aluminum block, forged steel crank, H-beam rods, forged aluminum pistons, CNC ported LT1 heads, all the goodies, all the stuff you would do if you were going to build a high performance engine.
Right.
High output custom supercharger, heavy duty 8-speed automatic. It's Yanco badged, 6-piston Brembo front brake calipers in red. I mean, the whole Magilla. Nitto.
I'm looking at it now. This thing is hot.
Yeah. Nitto 305/45 R22 front and rear performance tires. You know what those tires cost to replace once you burn them to shreds? A lot of money.
Yeah, right? Yeah, holy moly.
2-inch lowered spring rates. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I have to laugh because they've even went as far as with the details. Just look a casual glance at this thing. The Yanco body stripe. They have a Yanco SC body stripe that's running from the back of the car to the front of the car. But of course, they made the body stripe too short.
Ah.
And the reason why was because Yanco put that body stripe on a whole bunch of different cars. So we had to make it one length to keep the cost down.
Just so you know, SYC stood for Yanco Supercars. That was out before there was muscle cars. Let's go to the phones and go to the fun and say hi. You're on with your Yanco specialists, Ray and Chris.
Ray, John W.
Hey, John, what's happening?
How you doing, Chris?
Doing well, doing well. How are you?
I am doing good. You know, can't complain, but you guys got me on the thing with the beds on pickups. Man, why would you want it attached to the cab of the truck? They're sacrificial, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
And I'll tell you a story, because I got a Ram 1500, and you know the streets in Western Nassau, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Titanic hit an iceberg turning into a driveway because it was so tight, and I crushed the rocker panel.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Do you know that the whole side of the truck is one clam?
Oh, no, I didn't
know
that.
All the way up to the roof line.
Wow.
It's one piece from the rocker panel all the way up. And when I went to the body shop, I'm like, yeah, it's a rocker panel. It's not going to be. Yeah. It got crunched. Not a big deal to fix. They should have told me to sit down before they gave me the estimate. Because they were talking about taking the whole side of the truck off. And I'm going, yeah, but all you got to do is fix the rocker panel.
Mm.
And, you know, I went to three places before I found one where they said, yeah, we'll weld it in and, put the undercoating in the rocker panel after it's done and weld it back in.
Wow, you're lucky you found a place that would do that, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a place that I know well, but, it was approaching $5,000 for a crushed rocker panel.
Wow, yeah.
Holy
yeah.
smokes.
Yeah, well, you think of what they have to do if they do it by the book, and that is an awful lot of work. And, when work takes time, and time is money.
Yeah, and I got you, but why do you want to screw with my roof line?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they built the truck like that, so the crush point, everything kind of transfers the damage now to other areas of the vehicles. That's how they're built. So I'm sure that was a design point, but it's almost like you want to hit it harder so they could total it.
Yeah, and, the truck was 2 years old, and I'm like, oh, my God, $5,000.
Yeah.
And you just sit there and go, but why?
Right, right.
You know, the rocker panels, back in the day, a lot of them bolted on. You could, a couple bolts and bing, bing.
Yeah.
You know, the later ones, not so much. They were spot welded, but still, even that was achievable without heroics.
That's right. Yeah. Very true. Very true.
So,
you're right. Now it's all structural integrity and rollover safety and things like that.
Rear impact.
I gotcha, but I can't fathom why they would attach the bed to a cab on a pickup truck, because the the beds are sacrificial.
It's probably easier for them to stamp out those panels and build them. You know, they could probably do it easier and quicker. That's probably the real reason.
I guess.
I don't know. Listen, buy old stuff, drive old cars. That's what I say. You know, keep the old ones on the road.
I try and keep every old thing going, including myself.
Yeah, go get a 76 F-150 and bomb around it with a 351.
Yeah, John, including keeping old things running, including this show.
That's right. Hey, this show is approaching its 20-year anniversary. Right?
When's the party?
Good. We had one at 10. It was we had a 10-year party in a junkyard. How much better could that be, right?
Not much, boy. That had to be a fun day.
It was. Live bands. We had live bands. We were crushing cars. We did the whole thing. It was really cool.
Oh, my God.
It was. It's a banner day. Yeah.
You had people scavenging through the yard, and
it was cool. It was a good time. Thanks to Jimmy Morocco.
Yeah, scavenger hunt. That would add to the 20th, in the boneyard again.
Right. Yeah, but now they're all going away. It's hard to find anything like what resembled what we had even 10 years ago.
You could walk in and get something for $10. Yeah.
No, that doesn't happen.
No, those days are gone.
Yeah, you got to go to www.findmypart.
Right. Yeah. Right. Coldpart.com. Oh, well.
Sure. Anyhow, you guys have a great day. Love the show.
All right, John. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, John.
Well.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. That was our buddy Johnny from out here in Long Island, not Johnny from Florida, and all that cool stuff.
That's it. 516-572-7440. There's your phone number to get a hold of us here at Motor Mouth Radio. But talk about brakes. I actually had a brake issue with the Chrysler, and it was one of those times.
Which one?
The big one.
That one. Okay.
The big silly one. Yes. I had a laugh because the brake lights were staying on when I hit the pedal.
Oh,
got off the pedal. The brake lights were staying on, but we could chat more about it, or we can go in a different direction.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go to the phones.
Go.
Let's go to the phones and go to the fun and say hi. You're all at the Motor Mouths.
What's happening, guys?
Hey, Vic. What's going on?
What's up, Vic?
Yay! Hey, how is it out in the wilderness up there?
chasing field mice and watching grass grow.
Yeah, and you can't get a good bagel.
No, bagel, they don't even know what that is.
That's a cement donut to them.
They go, the Lender's bagels are in aisle 3.
Ooh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yep. They smear that. I can't even think what they think a smear is.
Right, so, yeah.
Yeah, probably has to do with toilet paper that missed.
So what's going on today, Vic?
Nothing much. You're talking about the unibodies. Remember that the 65 Ford was a unibody pickup.
Okay. Oh, like the Falcons?
No, the full size.
Oh, the full size. Okay, I didn't know that.
Wow.
Yep. I think it's 64.56 unibody pickup.
Okay, yep. Did not know
they're
that.
Nice looking pickups.
Okay. Yeah,
they were pretty.
The Maverick,
but I'm wondering.
The Maverick pickup is here already. My cousin's getting his tomorrow.
Okay, all right.
Wow.
30 miles to a gallon on the gasser.
Right, I can imagine. It's the EcoBoost engine. They're very frugal. Yeah.
And he said it is real fast.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, I think it was $30,000 out the door, too, so it's pretty cheap, considering.
Okay, so he had another 10 on top of the base, so he must have got he must have wanted, the cup holder and seatbelt retractor or something. And
he's got a good hook.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
His brother-in-law is real good hook, so.
Okay. And I was going to reach out to you for something that I was having trouble finding. I just got this yen. Sometimes you want to make changes to your car, and I decided I need yellow high beams because I think yellow high beams look really good on a gold car. I think it's going to look kind of cool,
Yeah, get the yellow paint like we used to do years back for the windows.
Well, that was the one thing, but I found a couple of links that said it was in local stores, and see, once I go to one or two local stores and I don't have it, I'm fed up. I'm like, I don't want to go to another freaking parking lot,
Right.
So what I ended up doing is a guy in the Thursday night show, one of our friends from VA, from Virginia, turned me on to a place called Lamin X. It's Lamin-X. And they sell all sorts of tint products. They sold these tint films that you literally put on top of the headlight and just work them out like a big decal and work the bubbles out.
I was going to say that, too.
And that's where I ended up. I said, you know what? It was like $17 for a pair of these things. The can of spray was almost $16 anyway. So I said, I'm going to spray two lights and never use the rest of it. At least now I'm going to get two of these things, use them, and I'm done. So I ordered.
Well, you could graffiti a wall and they could see through it.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Well, no, the graffiti I put on, I like to make sure that no one sees through. That's all they see. Yeah, throw it over the windows. But,
yeah.
See, I was going to ask you if you.
Long Isle Street Rods. It was a little light because it wasn't advertised because it was rained out last week.
Right.
Out in Hagerman. Yeah, car count was down, of course. So.
Right.
It is what it is.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you know, do you think that maybe since over the years the people have declined, there's less people who would vend or go to buy? I mean, the group is getting smaller. You think maybe that's
it? Is. Mm-hmm. It really is. And a friend of mine I was talking to, he said, "Can you find me a 4-door wagon?"
Uh-huh.
Because people can't crawl into back seats.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Yeah.
And the 4-doors were all over, but now they're going up too because...
They are.
Yeah.
There's no more 2-doors.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, you used to take a 4-door, take the nose off it on a tripod, take the nose off it, take the deck lid off it, and throw it away.
Exactly. Yeah. I crushed a few.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were just
to me, a 4-door car, yeah, a 4-door car was a pile of spare parts sitting on the curb. That's what a parts car.
Yep.
That's something you got from your grandparents and drove with a mask on and dark glasses.
Well, that was your $100 beater that you'd pick up, and just everybody had one of them, and usually it was like a Newport or somebody had a big Impala. You know, everybody, we'll take Joe's car, pile in. Yeah.
Exactly, because there's more room in the backseat for a keg.
Right, in the trunk, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Trunk was for the movies, for the drive-in.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Yep. Yeah, my 46 that should have been done is coming along because my man wasn't good well enough to work on it. So now the roof should be finished today and probably by the end of the week, all the body work.
Very good.
Ooh,
yep. Very good.
Motor's ready. Freddie Brown has my transmission. I got to talk to him a little bit. He's building me a 200.
Okay.
So, and then we'll get it up in the air and plumb the brakes and fuel lines and all. Should maybe another month or two.
Nice.
We'll see.
Excellent.
It should be in color, hopefully.
Looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, well, it was going to be magenta, but I think it's now going to be a dark blue.
Okay, all right.
So,
what made you go from red to blue? All right.
You just got, not the gasser, the 46 Chevy.
Yeah, but I'm saying you went from magenta, from a red.
No, I wouldn't have red.
Okay.
Not red. Oh, well, magenta is more pink.
Yeah, it's in the red family is what I meant. Yeah,
true. And I found a guy over on Babylon Turnpike in Roosevelt that does interior real cheap.
You know, Daryl just told me about a guy who did seats for him. He's up in Roosevelt on Babylon Turnpike. Must be the same guy.
WW Interiors.
Yeah, well, something like that. Okay, good.
Yep. Good. Just before the end, I got 64 Impala buckets and 46 back seat, rolled and pleated, $1,000.
Ah, very good.
Very good.
Yep.
Very nice.
Nice.
Because I have another one who's happens to be a customer of mine that told me $1,500 just for the buckets.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. Yeah. Good.
Yeah, right. And take the needle out of your arm.
Exactly. You know? Put it back on the record. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's good to find guys who'll still work for a decent rate. That's very good.
Exactly. He goes, "I need 100 down." I said, "Here's a nickel."
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long? I said, "Give me 2 months." He goes, "I haven't done in a month."
Okay.
So,
beautiful.
So it's getting there.
Excellent.
And it is what it is.
Yeah. So. No, it's good. Very good. Looking forward
and
to see.
Got my new welder. My son-in-law got me a welder for Father's Day.
Okay. What brand did you go with? Did he go with?
Miller, of course.
Miller, very good. Yeah, yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Nothing says love like a new welder.
No, that's cool. Not a Miller, especially like a Miller. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Yep. Put it with my other one.
Okay. Yeah.
So I got one for the right side, one for the left side
that's,
now.
That's always good to have. Good to know.
But it's funny how this thing is like the size of a... a 12-pack of beer, and it's just as good as the big ones now.
I know. Yeah, those are the
amazing.
Those are the MOSFET welders. Yeah, not the transformer welders. They're Yes Welders. Yes is another company that makes. They're you know it's an Asian company, but they're making some really good stuff too. So
that's good. A friend of mine that's he can actually weld on nuclear plants. He's a nuclear welder. He's got a big old TIG. It takes up half a bay.
Yeah.
He was given one that's the size of a suitcase, literally.
Yeah.
And it welds just as good as his old big one.
You know, they actually call them suitcase welders. That's
they
the
do.
Kind of, yeah.
Yes.
that's good.
Hence the name.
Better call them cow's ass welders, you know.
Yeah. Well, so now we want to see some good welds coming out of your garage. That's for damn sure.
Really?
Yeah.
What street are you going to?
Well, because now you got the good equipment, you know, so I'll come over and play with it then. How's that?
You could.
All right.
More than welcome. All right, guys.
All right, Vic.
You don't have much time left.
No, we got to get out of here.
We're another hour.
Done. Yes.
All right. Talk to you guys later. Be good. Be safe.
All right, Vic. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Take care, Vic. So, thanks. Bye-bye.
And Vic is right, because Kim is in. She's going to be getting ready for Thunder Road, Best of Springsteen in the group. You want to stay tuned for her. I know you do, because our listeners always do.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's what are you looking for, Kim? Your
pen.
Oh, that's what all that search was for, a pen. Okay.
No, that's a good search.
All right. No, it's, you know,
comfortable looking for cigarettes. You know.
Yeah.
Where are they? Over here.
The search was on.
Everybody's exploring today. It's an exploring day here at Motormouth Radio.
It is. So,
So
again, we're going to be winging it. We don't have a guest plan. There's a few in the clouds that are going to maybe drop.
You know, I enjoy winging it. It's always a lot of fun. We get to talk to our listeners. We get to indulge in a little bit of craziness. It's always good. A little bit of brainstorming. I always appreciate
and
that
I,
here on the
you
show.
You know, I played the drop that Carl Anthony gave us a couple of weeks ago. Yesterday, he sent me. He thought about it and made three more, which I sent you. I forwarded you the email. So listen to them.
Yes.
And see if there's anyone you like more than the others, and we got to decide what we want to put in the
We got to put together a new promo.
Well, that too, but those I'll use on the show.
Oh yeah, and the drops.
So give them a listen, see what you like, and
sure.
You know, and then I'll impose on Kim to put them up there again for us, so I can choose them at my random will, and
yes,
and play them. But so that's
sounds good.
So you work
like
on the big monster and your other thing.
Oh, yeah, just real fast, that brake problem that I had with the brake lights on, speaking of which, was literally, I was, like, looking around, and all of a sudden I realized that the clip that held the brake switch to the pedal, the clip had flipped up. All I had to do was push it down and tighten it. The job took 2 minutes to fix.
Easy fix.
Done. Easy
Excellent.
Fix.
And with that,
Easy
we
fix.
Will conclude this hour of Motormouth Radio with Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer. We'll be back. What does John, Chassis John, always say, Chris? Because he does.
Don't follow us home and go find that elusive part.
Right. Stop stealing his lines. He's going to get mad at you. We'll be back next week with Motormouth Radio, 90.3 WHPC. See ya.
See ya, bye. We'll be right back.